I actually have experience in many things that you don't know about. One time I encountered the operator of a crooked gold brokerage. And he introduced himself to me. He was driving a Phantom. I always thought it was a Bentley. But it's not. It's a Rolls-Royce. You know. I think there's a fine line between Bentley and Rolls-Royce. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I've never owned one. But the man was driving a pimp Phantom. Okay? We're talking about a really nice car. Okay? And he introduced himself to me. He saw me sitting there at the shop, and I was working on a MetaTrader application on my Nokia Booklet 3G, which was at the time the most expensive netbook in the market. It cost me $700 to buy this netbook. It had a 12-hour battery on it, if I remember right. And the man came up and introduced himself to me, and we chatted for a moment. And he looked at me and he said, you know, you could make about 20 grand a month working for my gold brokerage. And then he looked at me and he said, all of my clients lose. I mean, no shame in his game. I'm going to tell you something. He just said, hey, you could make about 20 grand a month working for my gold brokerage. And then he said, all of my clients lose. Okay. And then he looked at me and told me that he's a thief. No bullshit, straight story. I'm not going to tell you what his nationality is. I'm going to call him a bunk. Anyway, he looks at me and he says, I'm a bunk. It was a name. If I told you the name, you would recognize what he is, what country he's from. He said, I'm a bunk. This is what he said to me. He said, I'm a bonk. He said, bonks are thieves. He said, he giggled a little bit and he said, I know bonks that won't even bother doing business with other bonks because they know that they're just going to get robbed. Okay, that's a straight dope story. Do I have experience in determining what a fraud is? Woo! I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day, I was so deep in the game. I used to sit down. I did this little thing for a few minutes of my life, better part of a decade. I would sit down and do 20,000 to 50,000 worth of fraud. Okay? I've hacked the police department with my voice. I remember one time I got a call from security at this major international shipping company. You would recognize the name in a heartbeat. I mean, they've pulled up to your house, okay? And I promise you, no matter where you are in the world, they pulled up to your house, okay? They've driven down your street before. Anyway, I got a call on an unmarked voicemail. That means it's a voicemail registered under an alias. And I got a call from this guy. He said, hey, my name is so-and-so. Could you give me a call at this number? Oh, I already know my deal's gone hot. Security flags have gone up. Shit has hit the fucking fan. Okay, I don't care. Most criminals would have just been like, hey, cancel the deal. Let's go on to the next deal. But you know what I did? I called him, and I said, I can't remember what name I was using. I said, hi, my name is Tom Peterson. I got a message from you that, you needed to talk to me. What's this all about? What can I do for you? And he said, well, my name is so-and-so. I'm the head of security over here. And it was at their major hub in this major metropolitan area. He was the head of security for this major international shipping company. And he said, well, we've got one of your shipments here, and it's got all the earmarks of being a fraudulent shipment. And I said, really? I said, How long do you think this might delay my delivery? He said, oh, it shouldn't take too long. And I said, well, okay. If it's going to take too long, I might need to just cancel that order and send it back and purchase this product locally, because I kind of, I've got commitments. And he said, what do you guys do over there? I said, oh, we're software engineers. And he said, oh, I don't know anything about that. I said, don't worry, just come over sometime and we'll tutor you, no charge. He was scared to make a commitment. You know what? He's talking to a guy who's operating under an alias. He's talking to a guy who's waiting for $8,000 worth of computer chips to be delivered. Okay? He's talking to a guy that he's supposed to be apprehending and putting in handcuffs. Okay? And so, you know what I did? I said, could you hold on a second, Mr. Security? That's what I'll call him from now on, Mr. Security. I said, Mr. Security, could you hold on for just one moment, please? And so I was on my little Motorola flip phone thing. I liked those. They looked cool. I said, Mr. Security, could you hold on for just a moment? And you know what I did? I wasn't really good at doing three-way on these Motorola flip phones, but I had three-way on my Motorola flip phone. So I dialed up the company I was ripping off. And it just so happened that the president of the company answered the phone. Okay? The president of that company answered the phone. And I said, hello, Mr. President. How are you doing today? My name is Tom Peterson. I placed an order with your company here a few days ago. And there seems to be a little confusion about making the delivery. He said, oh, really? I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, could you hold on a second, Mr. President? And I go click, 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 and I put them both on three-way, and I can connect them up. And I said, Mr. Security, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Security. And then I shut up. And the two of them introduced themselves to each other. And they chit-chatted for a minute and tried to work it out. And you know why they didn't pop me? Because they just couldn't believe in their head that a brazen criminal would go through this and put them both in the same room. I mean, they felt like they were sitting in the same room with me. You with me? Are you with me? And so anyway, I heard the magic words in a few minutes. Mr. Security said to Mr. President, he said, look, the only way we can deliver that package is if you, Mr. President, will fax me over a waiver of liability. I was sitting there going, cut fucking ching. Okay? You with me? And so I sat across the street. And anyway, Mr. President hung up the phone and I talked to Mr. Security. And he told me that my package would be out for delivery within a few hours. And I sat across the street. I was sitting in a really nice Eldorado Cadillac two-seater, mint condition. Beautiful white exterior, brown leather. The thing was absolutely pristine. I was wearing a beautiful suit and a tie. I looked like a banker, but I was a hood gangster. Okay. So I sat across the street and I watched their delivery truck show up to my drop spot. Now you gotta watch the body language of the driver. Does he get out and is his head wobbling all around? Is he looking for people? No, he's doing his normal thing. He just gets the package, lollygags into the company, and now I set my stopwatch. I want to know precisely how long has it been since he walked through that door. If it's 3 or 4 minutes, that's normal. if he comes out, he just gets into his truck and zoom. Normal. No problem. But if he goes in, and he's in there for 8, 10, 12 minutes, something is really not right. Okay. So what I did is now I scheduled another delivery company to go into that drop spot and take the package to another location. And I watched that driver show up. I watched him walk in. I watched his body language. And I followed him to the next location, which was nothing more than an office building with a, you know, an atrium lobby. And I beat him there. I walked in the other door and I came up to him and I said, "Oh, hey, are you the driver? My package." "Oh, yeah." Like, how would I know who he is and what he looks like? Yeah, here it is. I said, "Do I owe you anything?" He said, "Yeah, about $30. I said, "Here's $40. Keep the change. Have lunch on me." And so I took delivery of $8,000 worth of electronics, fit in a little box that I could almost fit in my shirt pocket. Well, not literally, but it was small. Another time I ordered from an Asian man, and I was placing an order with him, and he told me, he said, "I can't ship overnight to a first-time customer, $8,000 worth of chips." I love to buy $8,000 worth of stuff. And he tells me, he says, "I can't ship $8,000 worth of product to a first-time customer." Okay? He doesn't know me. He doesn't know if the payment is fraudulent. He doesn't know any of those things. He doesn't have any history with me. No experience. So I heard him out. He was almost apologizing to me that he couldn't. "I just can't do it. I'd like to, but I can't." That's what he was doing. And so I looked at him on the phone. I didn't look at him. Can't look at someone on the phone. But I told him, I said, "Hey, let me ask you this. Could you send me half the order?" People want to be nice. You know what he said? "Okay, I can do that." So the next morning, guess what? I actually walked in and made the pickup by myself. I should never do that. I should have had delivery people working for me. And I didn't. So the next morning, I picked up $4,000 worth of chips. And I went in and picked them up. I came out, you know. These chips are what they are. I mean, it's like a pack of Marlboro Red cigarettes. They are Marlboro Red cigarettes. They are Marlboro Red cigarettes. They are Marlboro Red cigarettes. There's no high-grade Marlboro Red cigarettes in a box and then low-grade Marlboro Red cigarettes in a box. A Marlboro box of Red cigarettes is a box of Marlboro Red cigarettes. But I called him up and I said, "Hey, Mr. Chinaman, I just got your chips. They're really nice." "Oh, thank you. And I said, "Thank you." And I didn't push him for the rest of the order. I just said, "Thank you. They're very nice. Very good quality. You can't tell. I haven't tested them yet. I don't know what the hell they are." You know what he says? "Well, I can ship you the other half of the order now. You're not a first-time customer." Okay. I've ran hot construction equipment. Stolen boats. My associate in crime, I personally watched him take delivery of something like 60,000 or 90,000 of cameras. You know how he did it? I mean, he was a con artist from square get-go. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm really an honest man today. Now, I don't give a shit if you insult me. I don't give a fuck what you do. But I'm going to tell you something. My friend, he'd ordered these cameras. And they were being delivered to a mobile home park. And, I mean, he could set up shop in about 30 minutes. And he could tear down in about 20. Anyway, the truck shows up with the delivery, and driver wants a cashier's check, so he gets on the phone, and he tells the company that's shipping the product to him, he says, you know what, I've been real busy today, and could you just take a personal check on this one order? People want to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to tell you something, you do not give someone the benefit of the doubt over $60,000 or $90,000. No. Anything over $5,000, and damn it, you really want a wire transfer. And even then, there can be problems. Okay? Tell you about the time I... So my friend, they were asking him for a cashier's check, and... He got on the phone with the shipper, and he said, man, I've been busy. I didn't have a chance to get to the bank this morning. Could you take a personal check on this one deal? The guy agrees to it, and he tells the driver to accept a personal check. So my friend always had titty dancers working for him. My friend was connected with the mob from the top to the bottom. Okay, he knew every scammer in town. He knew everything about everything. Okay, my friend was what they call a timeshare whore. He did everything for the timeshare business, including move bodies. I kid you not. If they called him up and they said, bro, we need some help, he'd be like, I'm there. My friend was a federal informant. When I met up with him, he had just finished doing a year in state prison for a delivery of a kilo of cocaine. And he told me his new rule is, dude, if you're selling to somebody you don't know, damn it, and there's two of them, make one of them wait outside. Because now he's in court, and it's his word against two police officers. If it had been just his word against one police officer, he led me to believe that he thought that he could have, you know, had the whole thing thrown out. But you know how much time my friend did in Texas for delivery of a kilo of cocaine? He did one flat year in state prison. That ain't what normal people get for delivery of a key. Okay? I've sat with the top of the mob. I was summoned by the most powerful mafia boss in a border town. He called on me and sent for me. I'd done some crazy shit down there. I'm not a tough guy. I don't throw hands. I'm not good at it. I'd rather run from fight than fight. But I'm cold-blooded. I'm serious. I'm cold-blooded. I sat in a cantina looking at the boss. This is a boss of the most powerful mafia in every prison in the United States. We're sitting in this cantina, and everyone in the bar is armed, and they work for him. And I'm sitting there looking at the boss, and I say, hello, how are you? And I say, do you mind if I buy the beers? How about a Corona? And he says, that's fine. And he looks at me, and he says, there's one thing for sure about you. And I said, what's that? And he said, you got balls. And I said, thank you, sir. And he offered me a spot as a point man for a kidnapping and extortion crew. I would have made millions. I would have been the guy to lure dumb shits into the trap. I have a friend in Cali. He's a big Salvadoran gangster. Takes people hostage in their own homes. God, he does. When they invite him into their homes, first thing he does is he calls one of his buddies and they bring a crew over. They plop their asses down on his couches. They eat his food. They drink his drink. They smoke his cigarettes. They smoke his weed. Watch his TV. Look at his mail. Come 8, 10 o'clock at night when the homeowner finally says, "Oh, it's time for me to go to sleep. You guys ready to go home?" My friend looks at him and says, "We ain't going no fucking place." You understand me? Okay. I one time beat a guy, killed him with a pair of pliers. I beat him for about 2 hours. He tried to rat me out. So I took a pair of pliers about a foot long. I just walked up and snapped him upside the head with them. Clunk. Whoa. He didn't know what to make of it. It shocked him. Started bleeding on my carpet. I threw his ass in the fucking tub. Called my girlfriend. I said, we got about 15 pounds of ice in the freezer. Get it. Bring it. She dumped it in the tub. I told the son bitch, I said, plug the drain up, turn on the cold water. I beat the shit out of that son bitch while he was in a fucking ice bath. When he finally fell over and I had reason to believe he was dead, I just dropped the pliers. I walked in the other room. I grabbed a hacksaw. And came back in and grabbed him by the wrist and I started to cut him at the shoulder. And he sat back up. I'm really glad he sat back up because I never killed nobody, but I came real close. I was getting ready to cut his ass up and put him in trash bags. I was not a nice young man. I was a criminal. Okay? So when you say, "Oh, what do you know about..." Hey, I've been deep in the shit. Deep in the shit. Okay? Anyway, when he sat back up, I looked at him and I just looked at him and I said, "We're not going to have this problem again, are we?" He just nodded his head gently back and forth, left and right. And I called my girlfriend. I said, "Clean this son of a bitch up. Get him the fuck out of my house." I saw him 6 months later. I was walking down the street downtown and crossed paths with him. And he said, "Eddie, don't hurt me. I got a wife and kids now." I said, "Man, get the fuck out of here. You're okay." I'm going to tell you something. That Ponzi, that shop broker that I met in Cali, it's no joke. There are shops out there that you either lose your money of your own doing, which you're not really playing a live account when you go to a chop shop. They just put your money on the table. Bitch, motherfucker, you ain't getting it back. You ain't getting it back. You ain't getting it back. Okay, he told me straight up. He said, "Hey, you know, you could make about..." Because he saw me working on the Matter Trader. He talked to me. He's like, "Oh, you got a little snap." He said, "You could make..." But see, I'd reform my ways. I'm not a crook no more. And I made a commitment. I'm not going to do that shit no more. He looked at me and he said, "You can make about 20 grand a month working for my gold brokerage." And then he said, "All of my clients lose." And then, as I was telling you, he told me what his nationality is. And they are notorious as thieves. It is in their culture. But I won't say what it is. I'm going to call him a bonk. He said, "I'm a bonk." He said, "Bonks are thieves." He said, "I know bonks that won't even bother doing business with other bonks because they know they're just gonna get robbed." All I would have had to have done would be to look at this guy and say, "You know what, it's very nice to make your acquaintance. Do you have a number? I'll see you at the office in the morning. Spot me a few dollars." If you don't spot me a few dollars, I ain't working for you. If you don't make some kind of commitment, I'm not bothering coming to your office. But I didn't want to work for him. I didn't want to work for a chop shop. I'm going to tell you what he wanted me to do. I know what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to work in the new accounts department. And he wanted me to be the person that would answer the calls for new accounts when you're like, hey, I'm thinking of putting 200 grand in the account. And I'd, you know, I'd counsel you through it. So my counseling experience would be very, very important. Let me tell you about the time I hacked the police department. I got home from the jailhouse. Second time down, I almost did 40 years, you know. That kind of woke me up. First time I went to jail, I did 5.5 months on a 3-year sentence. And did it straighten me out? Fuck no. Made me more careful. Second time I went down, I got popped passing a $13,000 cashier's check. 3 civilians pulled pistols on me, and shit, I was wearing a suit and a tie. I looked good. I looked good. I had nice suits on. They pulled pistols on me and said, don't move. We were in a parking lot in a major part of town. I said, fuck you, motherfuckers, and I ran, but I was wearing those damn slippery-ass wingtips. Can't run in that shit. I would have carjacked a car to get away. I would have. I'd have done something. I'd have got in the car and said, drive. You know, I would have been nice about it, but I've been like, hit the fucking gas and go. Okay. Okay. So. I went down to the jail. And first time I went to court, they offered me a 40-year plea bargain. And I'm like, nah, I don't think so. Next time to court, 2 months later, I got a 6-year plea bargain, and I knew that meant I'd be out in about a few months. That's when I wrote my software in jail. You can read about that in my other posts. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you. The offshore brokerages are, in fact, a Ponzi scheme. If I was running one of these offshore brokerages, which I'm not going to, and if I do run one, it'll be a legit offshore brokerage. A legit offshore brokerage that actually makes your trades for you. And I know how to actually control my own pipeline. I'm not going to explain that to you because you argue with every damn thing I say. Okay? Not going to do it. Anyway, if I was running a chop shop, Ponzi scheme, bucket shop, offshore broker, which they all fall into that category, and let's say that all of my traders have turned over $1 million worth of deposits to me, and I just put that money on my desk, and when you think you're trading live accounts through me, you're not. You're trading air. You're doing nothing. You're spinning your fucking wheels. Okay? So let's say, okay, the odds are that overall, for all of my depositors, they're going to fuck up that money. They're going to screw it up down to about 900K, let's say. Okay. If everybody withdrew all their money, now some of you may have made gains, some of you made big losses, but if you, overall you fucked it up down to 900K, guess what? Guess what? I put that 100K loss in my pocket. It is mine. If my traders lose overall, you'll never find out I'm a Ponzi scheme until the end. Let's say that, you know, overall my traders fucked up their money, and now it's worth $900K, $800K, which is what they're going to do in most cases. I mean, some may win, some may lose. Some are going to lose, but a few are going to win. But overall, my total of $1 million of deposits will get screwed up and shrunk down to 900, 800K, 700K. Whatever that loss amount is, I just pull that off and it's mine. The other capital, technically I'm keeping it in case everyone withdraws their money, but you know what? Because these offshore brokerages are unknown, nobody knows who they are. You don't know who they are. I would have the option. I mean, let's say I ran a crooked brokerage, like, okay, let's say CoinEx dot, is it dot com, I think. Let's say CoinEx collects $100 million worth of deposits as an unregulated broker. Now, I can't really speak for CoinEx. Their website looks great. Their terminal looks great. But I'm going to tell you what they have the option to do. They have the option to say, business closed. Goodbye. They have the option to say, oh, we went bankrupt. And they take your $75 million and retire. And you've been told over and over that if you trade through an unregulated broker that you have no recourse. I'm going to tell you what it is, and you listen to me carefully. It is an exit scheme. Exit scheme means we're collecting all this money and we're preparing to just disappear. Okay? I mean, how do you know, like when you have a company that only takes deposits by Bitcoin, you don't know who the fuck those people are. You don't have no motherfucking clue. You know, you can move Bitcoins with the Bitcoin Core. You don't need no, you know, I've never even registered a wallet service. I'm not to that point yet with Bitcoin. I don't have any interest in it really. But you can just pick, you can just pull a private key out of your ass. You know what a private key is? It's 256 zeros and ones. Okay? If you flip a quarter 256 times, and if you get a heads, you put a one down. If you get a tail, you put a zero down. You do that 256 times. Just give me a number that is 256 zeros and ones. And pretty much for all practical purposes, that is what a Bitcoin address is. But it's the private key of the address, which gives you the privilege to move that money that has been sent to that address to another address. And boom, it's technically gone. There are ways to move it around through tumblers, etc., so that people will be like, it's like if you were chasing somebody and he ran into a rock and roll concert and everybody came out dressed the same and they all looked the same, how would you know who he is? That's what a tumbler is. You put Bitcoin into an address with a whole bunch of other monies, and when you get your money sent to another address, nobody knows who is who. Anyway, I'm not really familiar with the game, but I'm just telling you that the offshore brokerages, they can process a few withdrawals. That does not demonstrate that they are a legit company that actually offsets your trades onto the banking pipeline or the liquidity provider. Are you with me? Okay. That's about as simple as it is. In the end, they can just close their doors. I mean, little small Paul, he's over there in escaping the CFTC to go offshore. They're over there keeping track of which offshore brokerages are still in business and which have gone belly up. Well, they all just collect in deposits. You know, they'll give out a few withdrawals. But when they get overwhelmed with withdrawal requests, they're going to be like, fuck you. Change our phone number, change our email address, and just make a new website. You can make a new website in an hour or two. Hey, I do hope you're having a wonderful day. Peace and love. God loves you.